praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Hughes family. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 63 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 63 in the Word of God today. And as you find your place here in Psalm chapter number 63, I'd invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word today. And in respect of the reading of God's Word, if your health allows you to, would you please join me in standing for here in Psalm chapter number 63. We're looking at a journey in the Psalms coming through here on Sunday mornings and looking at different passages of Scripture. And we found our place here in Psalm chapter number 63 today. And if you're visiting with us, as Pastor Dan said earlier, we want to welcome you once again to the services here at Cross Point Baptist Church. And we've worshiped him in song today. And now it comes to the reading and the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And I trust that you are ready to dive in and to receive something from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you're visiting with us, we do welcome you here. If you have not had an opportunity to stop by the back table, the Welcome Center, please do so. After this morning's service, my wife and I will both be at the back. After this morning's service, love to shake your hand and get to know you just a little bit better. Psalm chapter number 63, would you please follow along as I read here. Psalm chapter 63, would you look with me at verse number 1. The Bible says this: O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see the power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. For several moments this morning, I'd like to preach a message entitled, A Daily Reminder. A Daily Reminder. Let's go to our Lord in prayer today. Father, thank you, Savior. Thank you for your grace that you do bestow upon us. Thank you, Father, so much for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for salvation. And Father, we know once we are saved, we're going to one day see you face to face. Thank you, Father, for the promises that are given to us in the Word of God. And although there are many that break their promises, you never have. Thank you, Savior, for who you are. Lord, I ask today a special request. I ask today, Lord, that if there be one here that does not know you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, when many churches around the globe gather, and some gather just for religious duty, others gather because of guilt. Some gather, Father, and just really don't know what's taking place. Father, we don't want to be just a body of believers that come and just, well, let's get through a day, get through a morning. No, Father, we want to meet with you. So, Father, meet with us now. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would restrain Satan from getting in here and trying to already upset this service. Father, Lord, the distractions that he may try to bring. Lord, I just ask that we wouldn't be distracted, but Lord, we'd hear from you today. Savior, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm is often called the morning psalm here in Psalm chapter number 63. To be honest, it's read by Jews to this very day, and oftentimes it is what will open up their religious ceremonies. David is going through a very rough time in his life. And at this point in his life, he's been driven from the throne by Absalom and headed across the northern edge of the wilderness of Judea. This land here is stretched out by the banks of the Dead Sea, and it's far from his sanctuary or far from his home, far from his palace in Jerusalem, which would have been at this point the center of his life. But as we read this psalm and as we go through it verse by verse, there is really an attitude of eagerness. There is an attitude of keenness, an attitude of earnest that is in the psalmist's life. The amazing thing about this passage is that although at this point in David's life, there could have been a complaining spirit, or there could have been a spirit that was, oh, woe is me. There could have been a spirit of upsetness or why is this taking place at this stage in my life? That's not what we find here. We find David almost with a praising type of attitude. And I think before we dive in, watch very carefully, it's also important for you and I to understand or to make note in our own personal lives that we too ought not to be driven to despair by circumstances. But understand that you and I have a God that is going to carry us through. That you and I have a Savior that is going to be there for us. So as we dive into this passage of Scripture, I want us to understand or see, first of all, in this psalm, number one, if you're taking notes, a priority in focus. Number one, a priority in focus. Look here with me at the first verse and watch what the psalmist says. He says this in verse number one, O God, thou art my God. Now, I wonder if all of us in this room today, if you were writing this psalm, could you say that? Could you in your life say, God, thou art my God? It doesn't matter if you've been a member at Crosspoint for 10 years, or it doesn't matter if you're just visiting today, or perhaps you're just kind of, you were invited by somebody, as some have been here, and it's your first time in church for maybe a long time. All of us have a testimony. All of us have something in common. All of us are either saved or we are unsaved. There is no climbing a religious ladder. There is no, well, I think I am or maybe I am. You see, the Word of God is very clear that all of us have a testimony of salvation and or we do not. You see, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have repented of your sin and asked Jesus to save you. The Bible says this in John chapter number 3, that you are now a born again creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. That means this, you are saved. If you have a testimony of being saved today, would you say amen? Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. And we praise the Lord for that. But as we approach this psalm, he says, O God, thou art my God. I think it'd be fool of us just to skip through and not to ask the question today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Again, it doesn't matter if you're a member of this church. It doesn't matter if you've tithed for a long time. It doesn't matter if you're a good moral person or you put your vote in, you think you voted right. It doesn't matter if you've been a good husband or a good wife. The question is not, have you lived a good and or moral life? The question today is posed as this, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You see, even in the Indianapolis area, there are a lot of good people. There are a lot of church-going people. You go out to the restaurants after this service today, and as you get there, you look around. And you can tell a lot of people in the restaurants in this area have been to church. It might be because they have a tie on or dressed up. They kind of nod each other. You almost can just sense that we just got out of church and now we're filling up the restaurants. And as we're there, let me say this. In this area, the Marion County, the Hendricks County area, there are a lot of good people. But let me just put it this way. There will be a lot of good people who enter into eternity and will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Why? Because good does not get you to heaven. Just looking up and saying, well, I believe in a God, or I think that there is a God out there, is not going to get you into heaven. Getting to heaven one day, as many pose this statement, well, when I get to heaven, I'm surely hope that I'm saved. And or when I get there, I guess at that time, God will judge whether I can get in or not. And let me just put it very squarely, friend. When I slip into eternity, whether it's today or 10 years from now or 30 years from now, I don't want to think that I am saved. I want to know that I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I don't want to go through life wondering, am I saved? Am I not saved? Well, have I done enough good or have I not done enough good? Friend, comprehend this. If you lived 1,000 lifetimes, you could never do enough good to get into heaven. No, the Bible says that there had to be a perfect lamb that needed to be slain to take away the sins of the world. Friend, that lamb was Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, he came and he had a ministry and he willingly gave his life. He died on an old rugged cross, But friend, the story didn't end there. 3 days later, he conquered death. He arose from the grave. He lives today, and he wants to live in your heart. Yeah. See, it's amazing to me. Two people this past week, I've looked for them. They're not here today. One was at a car wash. Would have been yesterday, witnessing to, gave a tract, talking to, just simply asked the question, if you died today, do you know that you'd be, where you'd be in eternity? You know, both times this week, the answer was this, well, I hope so. This is a church-going person. I got a church home my own. Well, yeah, we're faithful to church. What do you, if you died today, do you know where you'd go? You know, I think I do. Friend, I'm not making fun of anybody. Put it this way. I don't want to think or hope. I want to know. Amen. And the only way that you and I can know is to go to a source that is perfect. Let me put it this way. Crosspoint, and don't swallow your gum here under your mask. Crosspoint Baptist Church is not perfect, friend. You know why? Because we are the church. You, me, we make up Crosspoint Baptist Church. And may I tell you, friend, we are not perfect people. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. That's why people said, but Pastor Ian, we were talking this past week in the car. People say, well, you know, I'd go to church, but church is just full of hypocrites. So you're just going to stay home with a bunch of hypocrites? No, come on, join us. We love to have you. Why? We are hypocrites. We are sinners. We do have pride in our lives. We do say stuff at times that maybe we'd like to take back. Why? Because none of us in this very room are perfect today. We're not. There are none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned. All, you're A-L-L. You know, that means everybody. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, it's you and I comprehending that it's not, well, I think I need to be perfect, or I need to work towards, or I need to try to get there. No, it's not making fun of me. I'm saying this. We have to get back to a source that is perfect. And friend, you're not going to find it in religion. You're not going to find it, I hate to say it, in grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or a husband or a wife, friend. There is only one person that has ever lived that lived a perfect life, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he left us a perfect source so that you and I can know that heaven is our home one day, and it's called the Bible. Amen. The Bible. Do you know, friend, that a lot of people are putting, well, I think I know God, based on what mom and dad told them. On emotion. Well, I walked outside one day, and as I was out there, I looked into the heavens and spelled out my name, and I just knew at that moment, God loves me. Yes, God loves you, but friend, looking up into the clouds or in the stars, or you found a four-leaf clover, or you've been to church a whole lot, friend, that does not save you. You have to go to a source that is perfect. And the Bible says it very clearly, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The book of Acts says it like this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other names. You catch that this morning, listen very carefully. You do not get saved through a pastor. You do not get saved through a Sunday school class. You do not get saved through a pope. You do not get saved through Buddha or Muhammad. Friend, may I tell you today, there are many popes that have died. And if you went to their grave today and called out, they would be their friend. Muhammad, if you called out, he would be in the grave. Buddha, if you called out, he would be in the grave. Pastors and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, if you went to their grave and you called out, they'd be in the grave. But friend, I'm here to tell you, go to the tomb where Jesus was buried and you can call out his name, and friend, he won't be there. He's risen for the grave. Neither is there salvation in any other name. No, there's only one name that is given whereby you and I can be saved. That name is Jesus. But the Bible says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you today, watch now, David had a statement of a testimony. What is your testimony today? Now look, watch very carefully. I know what time it is. I just want to pause here because I felt like God this morning changed this message a little bit. So I just thought, Lord, I'm just going to add it in. So here it is. For those of us that are saved, it's good to be saved. Amen? Good to be saved. Man, it's just a peace that you and I have. Isn't it great? Man, we get to live with Him. Grace is the hugest thing. God's grace. I mean, we understand what that means. Do you know the lost world doesn't know what that means? But they can. They can know. And they can comprehend. You know why? Because God's salvation is for everyone.
Yes.
Everyone. I watch Brother Justin Schoenberg this past week witness to three guys. And I thought honestly, Coach, as you were out there talking to these men, I thought to myself, you know, sometimes in our life, we look at someone and we just come to and we don't like the way that they're handling things or maybe the way that they look or maybe even what they're involved in. As I watch my brother in Christ, even myself, I begin to have the thought, God died for everybody. Friend, let me put it like this. Tonight, we're going to be going through, and I want you here at 6 o'clock. I'm not going to give away the message, but you're going to love it. So I want you to be here at 6. We're going to be going through meekness tonight. Meekness. There's not a dude in this auditorium that's like, yeah, I'm a real meek person. It's not even a word we really like to use that often. But, you know, in the world that we live in, we really have set up these barriers around that. I feel like at times we forget that the gospel ought to be priority. You see what I'm saying here? It's not looking at whether, now look, I'm going to say this, everybody's going, oh my goodness, I can't believe we're going. No, look, it doesn't matter if you are a conservative and it's Trump all the way and it's President Trump and it's conservative values, or maybe all the way over here to President Biden, and it's red and it's blue, or you just, it doesn't matter if it's Senator Cruz down to Nancy Pelosi. Understand this, I think sometimes we get so focused, now follow me here, we get so focused on the politics and what's taking place, and we despise a person no matter where you land so much that we forget it's not about the politics, it's about the gospel.
Amen, amen.
Do you know what President Biden and a person like Nancy Pelosi needs the most? Yeah, a good dose of conservative. Yeah, they need a good dose of gas is already up a gallon. No, friend, what they need is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think at times we look at somebody, well, they need to get right, they need this, they need to get a job, they need to work harder, they need this, they need. You know what they need? They need our God living inside of them. How do we expect somebody to come along or be discipled or even to get their footing in life when they don't have a foundation? No, David started this whole psalm by saying, oh God, thou art my God. Now watch what he says here. Look what he says. He says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early. Early. Why is it that we take 1 hour in the evening and we give it to the morning? We lost an hour. Lost an hour. Last night. Do y'all not feel so tired today? It is 1 hour. And I'm telling you what, I'd have 2 cups of coffee. I never do that. I got one. I got done and was reading over my life. I went, Terry, did I not? I went and got another cup of coffee. So I'm a little bit, let's preach today because I'm telling you. But it was like 1 hour. And yet all my kids are dragging and it's just crazy. Our Sunday school class teacher said it in Sunday school at you get in the car and you feel good, but then you look at the clock and it says that, you know, it's not 9:15, it's 8:15. It's like, no wonder, you know. But here's David, he says, early will I seek thee. Early. The word of God didn't mess up here. Translator didn't say, well, let's just go ahead and stick that in. That's what I like. No. Understand,
the preserved word of God gives us this: early will I seek him. Why do you say early? Because God was the first thing that was on his mind. Crossboy, can I ask a question today? And this is not towards anybody, but this is just, let me be pastor for just a moment. What's the first thing on our mind in the morning? What's the first thing? For some, it's, some of you are whispering to each other. Who knows what you're saying, but I really would love to know. Some of you just said, first thing on my mind is to go to the bathroom. Okay, well, whatever, okay. What's first thing on our mind? Well, first thing, to work out. Some of you, work out. Some of you crazies out there. It's not the first thing on my mind, I'll tell you that. But work out. For others, it's the news. Get up, click on TV. For others, it's check the phone, how many notifications, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, how many likes did I get? For others, maybe it's coffee. How many coffee drinkers in here say amen?
Amen.
You know, we go up first in the rapture because we got more caffeine in us, amen. It's not the Bible, I'm just kidding. Understand, all of us have something on our mind. Got to get coffee, we got to do this, we got to go. Wait a minute, but what if the first thing on our mind was God? How different, dads, would our family be? How different, ladies and gentlemen, would our mood be for the rest of the day? How different would our witness be? How different would our relationship be towards our kids? If the first thing on our mind when we woke up was, Lord, I want to know, before I do anything, before I brush my teeth, before I get ready, before anything, God, I just want to tell you, I'm going to seek you. I'm just going to ask this today. If millions of Christians in America would have God on their minds first before anything else, I'm here to tell you, friend, I really feel like America would be in a much different situation than it's in today. David said this, so God, thou art my God. Watch, early will I seek thee. Look what he says here. Watch in verse number 1. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What vivid language we have there. I love the language of the Bible. My soul thirsteth for thee. Just reading this. Do you not just get thirsty? I mean, like, you would love to have a bottle of water. It's so good. Don't you read stuff sometimes? You get thirsty. I'm telling you, wearing a mask, I get thirsty so often. I think it's just bringing the same air, and you take it off, and your lips peel off with it, you know? And it's like, here's Amy. It says, my soul thirsteth. I grew up in North Carolina, Alabama my whole life, and I remember working in North Carolina, and I was going to work construction, you know, 15 years old, summer job, dad, go get a summer job, working for construction. Man, I thought I was just going to be, Brother Brian, I thought, man, I'm going to be able to build houses. Literally, I told my son this yesterday, I bought a tool belt, and I got a hammer, and screwdrivers, and a tape, and then, you know, all these things that, you know, when you're 15 and you work on a construction site, you never get to swing a hammer. You sweep, you burn the trash. Yes, back in the day we used to burn our trash. You burn the trash. You have the worst jobs in the world. Well, I remember this one day, finally, I get to really help. And we go up, and it was in North Carolina, we go up on this roof, and we're going to help, and we're putting the shingles on this house, and you know how it is, Brother Eric. I mean, it is North Carolina, y'all. I'm telling you what, it is probably 90 degrees, 88 to 90 degrees, 100% humidity. It's deep south. I'm here to tell you, look outside, you start sweating. It's just awful. And here we are up on this roof, and we're taking these, those big packs of shingles, and that was my job. But, you know, and I had this little skinny boy trying to bring across and drop it. I'm telling you, I started to sweat. We're up there for a couple hours. And I am just soaked, and I'm working. Well, finally, after a little while, you know what came to my mind? I'm thirsty. We got to keep working. Foreman says keep going. We're just going to keep. I'm trying to prove my worth here. I can handle these. And I'm going. Finally, in that hot sun, my lips literally begin to crack. I was just so thirsty. Finally, It's like 4:30. All right, let's come down the ladders. That's it, boys. Let's head home. And everybody starts heading down. And all those guys, I don't know how they did it, but they would all do this. They'd all go down to the structure company, and they'd all begin to smoke cigarettes. And I'm telling you, being around that would make me sick. I'm thinking, I don't want a cigarette. I want water. You know, that's all I can think about, was trying to get water, something to quench. I'll never forget, we got down off that roof, I went over and I grabbed my cooler that, I hate to say it, but that my mom packed me in the mornings, yes, okay, and I grabbed my little cooler, and I was so thirsty. Oh, here it is, finally, I'm dying, and I took it up, I kept taking it up, and I put it up, and nothing came out. I took that lid off as fast as I could, and I looked down in there, and it was dry, not a drop, can you imagine? I have to close the service out. Not a drop came out. I'm telling you, all this I could think about was one drop of water. Nothing else mattered. You catch it now? David is running from his son that's now kicked him out of the palace. There's no friends, no family, no loved ones, no servants, no grapes, he's in the desert. If there was ever a description that could be used, he knows what he's using here. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee in a land where no water is. That's how much he wanted God. Friend, in the day and age we live, Christian, now watch, in the day and age we live, we're all after something. We're chasing it. We want it. I'm thirsty for it. We talked just on Friday night of all our seniors and all of those who have participated in sports, our teenagers, and they talked about some of our teenagers, that competitive spirit that is in them. It's a great thing and it's a good thing. They're thirsty for it. They're chasing something. But can I just tell you, friend, listen, more than just academics, more than a basketball or baseball or volleyball program, more than just whatever you're involved in, there are those that live their entire life and they're thirsty, and they're searching, and they want something that will satisfy their need, and they'll never find it because they're looking in all the wrong places. But what amazes me today is that you and I know our Savior. We know Jesus Christ. We have him living in our hearts, and yet we're thirsty for everything else. We're thirsty for a job. We're thirsty for the next thing. We're thirsty for vacation. We're thirsty for a better relationship. We're thirsty, we're thirsty, we're thirsty. And yet, can we not take it from the psalmist today that you and I ought to be thirsty for the very word of God?
Amen.
You see, the Bible puts it like this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. John chapter 4 and verse number 14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up with everlasting life. Are you and I thirsty, friend? Do we wake up wanting to be in the Word? Do we wake up wanting to seek him? Do we wake up thirsty for, give me more, and I want more, and I want more? Did we walk into church today thirsty, hungry for the Word of God? Did we walk in today thirsty to sing his praises? Did we walk in thirsty saying, God, whatever it is today, give me something that's just gonna bring me joy that only you can give? You see, oftentimes we fly through a psalm, and if we're not careful, we miss it. You see, American culture, now watch, American culture, we have been so blessed that I'm afraid almost at times we're not thirsty for God anymore. We spend a lot of time today, all of us, or most of us, I'd say, spend a lot of time today getting physically ready for church. We look good. What a great man. You guys, y'all look awesome today. It's amazing what we did. We got up and we did our hair, shined our shoes, some put on a tie. Ladies got all right. They got their necklaces just right. The bracelets matched. The earrings look good. The hair did or permed or whatever y'all do. And they did all this stuff. And we got all ready. And we head to church. And woohoo, we're ready for church. Well, are we? See, I wonder how much time we spent in the Word of God today. Husbands, how much time do we spend on our knees asking God to speak to our family today? See, we're not thirsty. What this pandemic last year did is it really separated the ones playing church from those who actually were the church. I'm not thirsty for it anymore. See, David goes even further. Watch very carefully. There is this priority and focus, but there's also, secondly, a power from God desire. Look at verse number 2 and watch what the Bible says. He says in verse number 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. As David was on the run in the wilderness of Judah, the thought here is amazing. Watch very carefully. What David missed most of all was God's house. It was his power. It was not of his own palace that he was mourning in the psalm, nor of his throne, nor of his family or his friends that were left behind and or turned his back on him. No, it was God. It was his house. It was the sanctuary. He missed the place of prayer. He missed the sanctuary of God. He missed the place where they would come together in public and worship him. That is what he missed. That tells us, watch it carefully, a lot about the heart of this man. As you and I went through 2020, what is it about a year ago today that you and I missed? Isn't that amazing? It was a year ago, churches across our nation went online. Well, we were careful. We didn't see moms and dads. I remember my parents just lived probably 15 minutes from us. We didn't see them for weeks and weeks. We drove up separate cars and their grandkids waved to them in the windows. What was it that we missed last year at this time? How much we talk about it? Isn't it amazing? How much even on the West Coast they still talk about, boy, I just missed. What did we miss? Well, we missed going into restaurants. And we missed socializing with each other and going to see grandma and grandpa. We miss the days of no masks or face shields. We miss really going into a store and seeing aisles and aisles of toilet paper. Boy, those were the days, weren't they? Oh, kids, you don't believe. Back in the day, you could just walk in and buy toilet paper. I'm telling you, that was the weirdest thing. I thought it was a California thing, but I'm starting to realize it was everywhere, friend. Why in the world? I mean, it just tells you how much common sense we have lost. We're not going to have food. We're not going to have electricity. We're facing a virus that if you even come in contact is going to kill you. And what do? Let's go get toilet paper. I'm telling you, we have lost our ever-loving minds, have we not? David said, I missed God. I missed the sanctuary. I wonder in our lives, church was taken away for more than just a month, would we miss it? Well, we got live stream. We're okay. Well, you know, I think we're kind of, no. Understand, there are millions in this nation that I truly believe would miss assembling together and singing the hymns. Miss the opening of the Word of God in his house. You see, in a day and age that we live, there are many who are trying to make little of the local church. They're trying to belittle what it is. Well, church, I'll just be honest, it's not a big deal. No, friend, it is a big deal. Mm-hmm. The local church is beyond our comprehension. In a day and age when everyone wants to put sports before church and camps before church and vacations before church and you know, it's my workout time, it's my family time before church. Listen, in a day and age where people want to make little of church, it's you and I that ought to make a big deal out of it. It's you and I that ought to say, look, it's you, God, that I am seeking, and we're thirsting for you, and we want you, and when we cannot be there, understand this, we miss not being there. It's the local church where you and I gather together. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, who started the church. It's the only program of God. It's a place where Christ is preeminent. It's the pillar and ground of truth. It was purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The church is more than just an organization. It is an organism. It's alive. It's vibrant. It's vital. It's moving with Almighty God. And friend, in a day and age where people want to
guitar. Well, to be honest with you, they're kind of down on the list. Or when even the government is stepping in and say, well, you're kind of like the bars, or well, you're kind of like these other places. You know that maybe it could be open, maybe it shouldn't be open. I don't know. No, I'm telling you, friend, the local church ought to be open, because if there's anything in this nation that is going to fix the mess that we are in, it's you and I assembling and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But do we take it serious anymore? See, I'm afraid, friend, we've gotten to this place where, you know what, a church is kind of, it's optional. Well, I'm here to tell you, you spoon feed your kids options, and by the time they're 18, they'll choose an option, and it's not going to be God. Tells us a lot about the state of Indiana. We can pack out other venues, but churches are closing their doors. Now, wait, don't walk out of here offended. Well, you're saying that basketball is not important. Look, you're talking to a sports fanatic. I love it. I love that it's here. It's great. It's good for our local restaurants. I think it ought to be open. I think, look, these are all personal opinions. Who cares about my personal opinion? Understand this. A basketball game is not going to fix the spiritual state that Indiana is in. But what is? The assembling of ourselves in here, amen, worshiping God, opening up the Word of God, allowing our families to grow together, husbands and wives enjoying singing together, enjoying the Word of God being preached, and then walking out these doors, change more like our Abba Father. You know what's going to turn this world upside down? It's not going to be Republicans, and it's not going to be Democrats. It's the very gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to wake this country up and give us what we need. But I'm telling you what, we're not thirsty for it. Now, I understand. Look, over here. Okay, watch. I get it. I get it. I think we're okay where we're at. Being okay is just another word for being stagnant. Have we thought, church, about Resurrection Sunday coming up? Well, yeah, I thought about it. You know, it's my favorite time of year. It's, you know, all the Easter bunnies and, you know, the chocolates. And look, I'm all about chocolates. And to be honest with you, I love the marshmallow peeps. You either hate them or you love them. I kind of like them. I think they're good. The marshmallows, they're sugary. You've got to eat the little ears off first, or if it's a bird, you got to eat the head off first. Isn't that just weird? But that's the way it works. Don't get out. Yeah, okay, we like the candy. Yeah, I love Easter because this. We get Easter baskets, and we hide eggs for the kids. So I'm talking about, have we thought it all about that's a day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord?
Amen.
See, that Sunday starts revival. Well, I mean, we got to wait for revival. You know what I'm saying. We schedule a speaker to come in. We call it revival services. But it's so much more than that. It ought to be a time that we're praying for our hearts to be revived.
Yeah.
We sing the songs, revive us again, revive us again. We sing these songs. But do we mean it? Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again. Yeah, but we just sing it. Are we thirsty for revival? Moms, dads, how cool would it be? How amazing would it be if we saw revival in our kids' lives? Well, they're just young. Tommy, come up here for just a second. Tommy is so amazing, even though our family many times will sit in the back. Tommy loves to sit up front, and he's my buddy, and maybe going to preach one day. Don't know. He's praying about it. But it's amazing. Tommy is 11 years old. You know, if I only concentrate on everyone else, I may miss the revival that God's going to have in my own son's life. Brother Bert, let's be clear. Our families can see revival at our kids' age.
If we're waiting to see revival when they go to college, we waited too long. It's too late. It's like somebody walking up with a six-year-old saying, I don't know what to do with them. I never disciplined them, and they're awful. They're a brat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You missed it. See, we're going to get to the Wednesday night, and Pastor Chris and Brother Schrock, is that correct? Brother Schrock is going to get done on Wednesday night. It's like, oh, yeah, revival. That's right. No. All right, family, let's load up. Let's get there. Let's go. Revival services. Guess what? You know what's going to happen? It's too late. Are we thirsty? See these young people do something great for God? How thirsty are we that we stop each and every week and would pray for Pastor Blake and Miss Charlotte? God, we're thirsty to see our kids just turn Cross Point Christian Academy upside down for you. You see, I'm not gonna prolong the point here, but I do want to talk. Just give me a little bit of freedom here. See, Bill Jim, I really feel like we get comfortable. We think for a moment, because Pastor Brent, we got a Christian school, we're good. It's more than that. You know, Brother Schellenberg, just because our kids come and go into a Christian school doesn't mean they're going to do something great for God. Just be honest with you. The kids at Cross Point Christian Academy are not perfect. How dare you? I can say that. I got 5 that go there, thank you very much. I know they're not perfect. Somebody just recently, it's bothersome. Somebody recently in our school has been taking a bunch of paper towels. Now look, I'm not getting in the flesh here. I'm just a bunch of paper towels. They take it and they slap it against mirrors and against walls, and then just let in the bathroom go all the way down, and then they just leave the mess and they walk out. Now I'll meddle a little bit. If I would have done that as a child, you're gonna meet my mom tonight, Jimmy, sir. Dude, I'd have been worn out. You say, Pastor, are you saying wear your kids out? No, a little bit, but no, understand. What I'm saying is this. Our kids going to a Christian school or homeschool or public school, they're not perfect. But we ought to be thirsty enough to pray for them.
Amen.
And to have them in church when it's time to be in church. We want to see great things done. You know, honestly, look, it's just one of those mornings. I think we made a big mistake in the United States of America. And we were putting a lot of hope in one person, and that person was our president. That person did not get reelected. And I'm just here to tell you again, it doesn't matter what side you're on, whether you voted for Biden or President Trump. Understand this, was President Biden or President Trump, that's your business. I praise the Lord. We get to live in the United States of America where we get to vote. Somebody say amen right there. Understand this, we put all of our hope. Look, our hope is not in President Biden or in President Trump. It ought to be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask us a question today. Are we hungry and thirsty for God? Carrie and I talk often about life and what God's done in our life. As I think about the times that God's worked in our lives, I just have to go back and say, it's because of God's power. Friend, listen, watch. We're never going to see great things done at Cross Point Baptist Church if we're going to try to do it in our own power. Revival services coming up is not saying, we want to see great things done. So, Pastor Chris, what we need is really dynamic songs. And Brother Schrock, when you come in, if you could just preach that message again that one time. Yeah, you remember that message? It's a real sugar stick, I'm telling you. Well, that kind of shook us up.
And what we need to do is, we need to kind of, let's make bigger altars up here, and let's just kind of set the mood by, well, we'll turn out some lights, and we'll do this, and we'll do that. And let's just put it very clear. You and I are never going to see real revival if we're just going to have a little scheduled revival every year. We're never going to see true revival in our marriages and in our homes and in our lives and in Hendricks County and in Avon and the surrounding area. I'm just here to tell you, we are never going to see revival if we're not thirsty for it. Why? Because when we are thirsty for it, as David said here, watch very carefully, to see thy power and thy glory. It was not about David. It was not all about him. It was not mustering up some kind of emotion. No, what David missed was seeing God's power. And when you and I begin to, when we begin to listen, watch, when you and I begin to say, God, we're thirsty. God, we want you. God, meet with us. Then when you and I come to church, we don't just see some little kid running down the aisle and we're upset because they're running around the church. No, when we begin to see God's power, we begin to put on God's lenses, we're going to look at that same little kid and we're going to see a little future missionary running around here. When you and I begin to look and see some old drug addict or somebody addicted to alcohol, and maybe just in our flesh, that's what we see. But when God's power gets in, we see future workers at Cross Point Baptist Church, and we see future marriages being restored, and we're going to see souls being saved, and we're going to see millions sent out. And now listen, watch. You say, millions, that'll never happen. Friend, I'm here to tell you, if you and I would get thirsty for God, there's no telling what his power could do. Here's our thirst. Well, looking for that blessed hope. Just wish God would come back. I understand. I want to see him come back too. I already told you my one prayer was that God wouldn't come back before I got married. I was afraid of that. Well, I've been married now. I love being married, and I love life, and I love my kids, and I love pastoring, but I'm looking for the blessed hope. But when we're in a desert, we're in a dry place, we're in a tough time, I don't want my life to be, well, that's it. So-and-so got elected. That's call it quits. That's the end of the end. Yep. Whoa, God, just come back. Looking for that blessed hope. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Woo, set our clocks back. Gained an extra hour. Get to sleep in. Woo. 2022, 2023. 2024, 2025, we missed it. When you and I should have been saying, doesn't matter who's elected, doesn't matter if it's COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, say, Pastor, don't even say it. I don't know, but I'm just, let's just be real for a second. Doesn't matter what's taking place. It's not about us and our power. It's being thirsty for God and what he can do.
Amen.
What can he do? Pastor Brent, what can he do if revival came to Cross Point Baptist Academy? Can you imagine if 240-some kids or whatever it is, our number, can you imagine how different this place would look if God caught a hold on every one of their hearts? People would come from states away to watch it burn in a good way. Because it spread, friend. I want to ask us, moms, are we thirsty? Do we long for him? Church, I wonder, did we seek him today? And will we tomorrow? David said, look, prior is this. It's all in his power. Friend, you're looking at a man who is not looking in the rearview mirror and not even looking forward to, like, you know, well, times are tough and let's just go. You're looking at a man who truly believes what the Word of God says, that I believe in my lifetime, real revival can
Amen.
Come.
Amen.
I believe that.
But we got to have some people that will be Peter and just step out of the boat by faith. Yeah, but he sank. Yeah, but he walked on water. It's the people that by faith go build an ark in the middle of nowhere. Well, it's a big battle out there. Boy, I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but yeah, you know what? I decided a long time ago, the news is not going to determine whether or not my God has power or not. Well, I don't know. Tucker said the other day, whatever. Name your favorite guy. Who cares? You know what the Bible says? We win. Isn't that great? I'm trying to cheer you up a little bit. Seems a little bit down in here. So, we win. Woo! We win. How many like winning? Say amen.
Amen.
We win in the end. Well, it's mighty big. It's mighty fortunate. Well, you know, David walked on a battlefield with a slingshot. You know how silly he must have looked? Oh, Saul, I can't wear all this. This armor's too heavy. I'll use my own weapons. Oh, you got a sword? You got a shield? What you got? You know, Dad made me this slingshot a long time ago. You were going to go fight the giant with his... would you call it a slingshot? Yeah. What do you have, like bullets or dynamite to put in that? No, I'm just going to go down this little brook here and pick up 5 smooth stones. Oh, David, it's a giant. Oh, David, you're never going to. It's so silly. He's going to go up against the giant. With that little old weapon, it'll never happen. We know the end of the story. It's pretty graphic, to be honest. Went out there, hit him in the head, didn't have a sword, took his own sword, cut his head off, held it up. Woo, Israelites won a big battle that day. What do we have, Pastor? We got a big weapon here, friends.
Amen.
We got a thirst for it. We got to want it. We gotta desire it for our families and our friends. I wanna be a Brother Schellenberg who walk out there and give out tracts and talk about somebody's soul. He was thirsty to see somebody get saved. We want that. God, give it to me. Friend, can I ask us? What are we thirsty for? Are we thirsty? Because God said he'd give it to us.